Bibles and stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start once again in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1, the Bible tells us, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you again for your powerful word, for your Ten Commandments that you've given us to uphold and to live by the power of your grace. Lord, we ask again that you would visit with us, that you'd open our eyes up to scriptural truths that will benefit our lives, that will change us, Lord, as we seek to conform to the image of your Son. Pray for your blessing upon the service today, that your will would be done, that we would have your power and presence upon all services, Lord. Father, we want to see the lost come to Christ today through the preaching of your word, and we pray you would deal with each and every heart that's here today. Lord, we love you so much, so thankful for all you've done, thankful for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for your Son and his cross. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that washes us and cleanses us from all our sin. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So we have finished looking at the first four commandments which the Lord gave us as instruction on our relationship with him. The final six commandments give instruction on our relationship with our fellow man. Because of this, they have been referred to as the pillars which hold up the social order of the world, if people would only obey them. Amen. The Ten Commandments, or the law, in their entirety, they reveal to us the perfect holiness of our God and also the sinfulness of all men because of our inability to keep the law. To be under the law is to be under condemnation. Condemnation. It exposes our guilt because we simply cannot keep it. And please turn with me quickly over to Romans chapter 3. We'll see a couple of verses on this. In Romans chapter 3, please read with me verses 19 and 20, where the Bible says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Before we move into our fifth commandment today, we're going to quickly go over and review the first four. Now, the first commandment, we saw that it declares the preeminence of God. The preeminence of God. back in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, God said, I am the Lord thy God. And verse 3 continues with, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But our age today, the world, is in a time of polytheism. We have many false gods. We have many false prophets. We have many false practices and all kinds of false worship. Now, Colossians 2, verse 8 is a great verse. Colossians 2, 8, the Bible warns us, beware. That's a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The world is given over to every form of false god and false form of worship imaginable. When you consider all the kinds of false religion that we have people that participate in Mary worship and worship of perceived saints of God. We have people that follow a works-based salvation. We have all the false religions of the world, everything from Buddhism to Islam, Hinduism, humanism, and atheism, which also is a religion. We have people that worship governments and the governmental structures of the world, people that believe communism or socialism is an answer to all things. They are godless. They enslave men. On the other end, people think conservatism will set us free, that liberalism is the way, or libertarianism. But there is no truth in forms of government. People are given over to all kinds of materialism. They love their money. They worship possessions. People want fame and power in this world, and they want to participate in all sorts of perceived worldly securities. There's also false worship in our relationships. We can even have this within our own family. We have to be careful with our children that they do not become gods. They do not become an idol in our lives. We have to keep friends and different personalities, people we like to spend time with, in check and think biblically according to all these things. Because all these things, when they're not done according to the Bible, they are vain and they are not after Christ. God wants to be the only Lord and the only God in our lives. He is to be the focus of all of our praise, worship, and adoration, because He alone is worthy, and that is exactly His proper place in our lives. Then the second commandment reveals to us the person of God. The person of God. And as the first commandment forbids the worship of other gods, the second commandment expressly forbids the making of other gods. Throughout the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New, our God is proclaimed to be the living God. The living God. The living God. He's eternal. He's alive today. Amen? He's infinite. He's infinite. Yet spiritually blind man chooses to worship things that are dead, things that are limited, temporal, vain, the works of their own hands. The Word of God is very, very clear on this. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Any graven image. We are not to make an image or an idol of anything. Anything from heaven, from the earth, or from the sea. That is what the Bible says, because it is an abomination to the Lord. God takes this very seriously. Yet man will come up with reasons to justify himself. But God commands us not to have an idol of anything. And this is both physically, to create something by the work of your own hands, and also to have an idol within your hearts and within your minds. Anything that would steal worship, proper worship, from God, to which it belongs. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, the Apostle Paul commends that local church for how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. To truly know God is to know Him through His Word, His revealed truth for man. and to be born again by his Spirit. Amen. It is as the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then we find in the third commandment, speaks of our reverence for God. Reverence for God. When Jesus taught on prayer, he instructed his disciples to come humbly in all humility, with fear, with reverence for God. We find this in Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Psalm 99, verse 3 is also a great verse. It tells us, let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The name of the Lord is holy. Amen. Now, we are not to be flippant and irreverent towards God in any way. Not towards the things of God, not towards the word of God, not towards the house of God, and not towards the names of God. Having the wrong attitude towards any of these things reveals our lack of reverence for God, and if you have that, you need to repent of it. If you throw your Bible into the pew, if you throw it into your car, throw it around the house, this is a lack of reverence for the Word of God. We should all love and appreciate this book. Amen? Treat it with reverence. And to allow our children to run through the church, to play around the pulpit, is showing a lack of reverence. When they do that, they should be corrected immediately. Immediately. When we find our seating areas and other parts of this church littered with candy wrappers, with water bottles, there is a lack of reverence in the church for the house of God. God is holy. His name is holy. Let us not take his name or anything else about the Lord our God in vain. If we have in any way, let us have an attitude of repentance and self-correction. If you see litter around, please pick it up. If you see someone littering, correct them. Correct them. Then the fourth commandment reinforces time for God. Time for God. It's the Lord's day. Amen? The Lord's day. Exodus 20, verse 8 commands us to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. For the New Testament church that the Lord Jesus Christ started and built, it is Sunday. It is the first day of the week that we set apart in particular for God. But for true converts in Christ, our entire life, our entire lifestyle must be one which is characterized by true holiness every day. Amen? Every day. We are to be set apart for God as temples for the Holy Spirit. And I know we are familiar with the verse that we find in Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Why don't we turn there? It never hurts to see it, and we'll read it together. It's a wonderful, wonderful verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. Sunday is the Lord's day. Not the Lord's hour, not the Lord's half day. It is the Lord's day. And as many have completely forsaken it for every and any reason, it was given to us by the goodness of God so that we can have a day to rest and to be refreshed in the Lord. The Lord's day and faithfulness to the Lord's church should be our reason for missing everything else in life. Amen? Instead of everything else being the reason for us to miss church and forsake the Lord's day. Everybody puts everything on a Sunday. Why is that? Everything's open again on Sunday. Even when I was a kid, it wasn't that way. The only thing closed now, as Brother Marcus said last week, is Chick-fil-A. That's probably the one place we might want open on a Sunday. Amen? But people will put everything on Sunday. And why do most jobs traditionally have off on the weekend, have off on Sunday? Because there was a time where people took that seriously and they observed it. No longer in our day. But just like the first fruits of all our increase belongs to the Lord, the first fruits of each week, our time on the Lord's day, it belongs to Him. We are to be set apart for Him as we keep this commandment. Now, considering the following as part of observing the Lord's day for the believer, it's not just showing up to church. Consider this, how we are to observe the Lord's day. First, there is our preparation. We have the responsibility to prepare for the Lord's day. Amen? How much more would the Lord's day mean to us if we took thoughtful preparation each week, starting from Saturday, starting from even days before? We would have our clothes ready. We would have our meals planned, the lessons done, the brunch prepared. All the responsibilities that we have here would be taken care of. And this enables us to focus on the spiritual needs for Sunday, to take an inward look at ourselves and to make sure that we are right with God before we enter into His house, to make sure we are right with our family members, to make sure we are right with our fellow church members as well. And next we have our participation. This is so important, especially on a day like this where we will have many visitors in the next service. It is vital for the saved church member who is seeking for the Lord's will to be done in his church to participate. Instead of coming late, our effort should be to come early and to be in prayer for our services. Amen? Which we must also be doing throughout the week. If you are a saved member of this church, I'm sorry, 10 minutes on a Wednesday night for prayer for our services is not going to cut it, okay? We should press into the kingdom of God and pray for the lost souls that are among us. We are here to meditate on the Lord's word, to be ready to worship and to enjoy the fellowship of the brethren. This is a much better option than procrastination or rushing into church, stressed out, angry, and unprepared on a Sunday morning. And next, we see our preservation. Our Sunday should not be characterized as a day of business or a day of busyness of any sort, but rather a day for the Lord. And because it is His day, it should be filled with characteristics and attributes that are assigned to Him as well. Amen? Our day should be filled with love. It should be filled with joy. It should be filled with peace. It is a day to bask in God's presence, to recharge spiritually, physically, and mentally. I know for me, there's no place I'd rather be. In the pew, listening to sound preaching in the Lord's church is my favorite place to be. There's a peace. There's calm. There's fulfillment through the Word of God for me. And we should talk about our day in church when we go home. Talk about the preaching. Talk about the teaching. How did the Lord speak to your heart that day? Speak to your wives, your children, your husband, those that you're living with at home. How will you respond to the challenges from the Word of God? How will you make application in your life? Speaking about these things at the end of the day will help preserve all those biblical thoughts in your heart and mind. And now, finally, that brings us back to our text, Exodus chapter 20. And please turn back there with me, where we will see the subject of the fifth commandment in verse 12. Verse 12, the Bible tells us, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." So the first thing the Lord tells us in this verse is to honor. To honor. And to honor is to be heavy, to give weight to the person who we are addressing or speaking of. It demands a profound respect that governs all relationships with those that we honor. This very command is the foundation for all proper relationships within all the community with our fellow man. Honor, respect. And if a child is not trained up from their youth to honor their parents according to godly principles, then all their other relationships in life will be flawed, and that child will have serious problems. It was D.L. Moody who said, "I have lived over 60 years, and I have learned one thing, if I have not learned anything else. No man or woman who dishonors father or mother ever prospers." I would add the reason for that. The reason for that is that you would be going against the scriptures. Now, we cannot prosper by disobeying God's word. There must be a clear weight of significance and authority attached to who our parents are, what our parents do, and what our parents say. And I know not everybody has been blessed with good godly parents. So this is not to be a blind obedience to everything and anything parents may say, especially after you reach a certain age. And we know that if our parents give us counsel that goes against the word of God, then we must certainly obey God rather than men. Amen? But even in this, we are called to be respectful and honorable to our parents. And parents are not to be prideful and puffed up in this either. They're not to mishandle the word of God. And many lost people would like to hold on to this verse and throw it in the face of their children. But may I say that this commandment works best with parents who are saved and fully submitted to all 10 commandments. If we are, we will be upholding a godly standard in all of our advice and instruction, which will be aligned with God's word. And our children can follow us and obey in confidence. Amen? And please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul also speaks of the fifth commandment. Starting in verse 1, the Bible tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And please turn forward a few pages to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 20, we find the Apostle Paul write again, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." So the first thing we see as Paul refers back to the fifth commandment is the requirement for honor. The requirement for honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. And if we love God, we will keep his commandments. Amen? Both honor and obedience pleases the Lord, just as it does our earthly parents. We also find a promise from God attached to this commandment. Paul points this out. The promise that it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. To honor our parents is not something that is innate to us. We all tend towards different levels of dishonor, some more than others, different levels of disobedience, and again, some more than others. This is something that must be taught to our children, and we must start at a young age. And please turn with me back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22. This is a familiar verse, a great verse on child rearing. Proverbs 22, verse 6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So it is our jobs as parents to train up our children in the way that they should go. Some of us are training up our children and purpose to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is commendable. We are teaching them to have respect and reverence for the things of God, God's word, God's house. According to God's word, we are pointing them to the way of salvation. And when they are old, they will not depart from it. But for parents to ignore this scriptural mandate is still to train up your child. But instead of training them in the way of salvation, you will be training them in the way of rebellion. While you're in Proverbs, please turn forward to chapter 23. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. The Bible tells us, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and he shall deliver his soul from hell. These are very strong scriptures from the Word of God. And it's not talking about beating your child to within an inch of their life, but it's talking about bringing proper discipline. We must keep in perspective how your child responds to you, because it will be similar to how they respond to the Lord one day. Just like it's imperative for our children to immediately obey when they hear the sound of our voice, we want them to respond to the Lord's voice immediately as well one day, because he will call them through the preaching of his word in this church. Please turn back now in Proverbs, see chapter 13. Chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 24. The Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And betimes means the correction is to come quickly. It comes immediately, right away, not 3 weeks later in anger. Just as we want our children to respond to us immediately, we must also respond to them with the necessary discipline immediately, not in anger, but in love. So parents, let me ask, are your children obedient and respectful to you? If not, why not? Are they quick to receive your instruction? Who's running the household? Do they respond to your voice the first time, immediately when they are called? These are important questions, because our day is filled with and defined by rebellion. Rebellion. And let's turn forward to Romans chapter 1. There's a few terms we're going to see here. Evil attributes that Paul is speaking of the children of disobedience. And in Romans 1, verse 30, among all these other things, we have this verse that speaks of backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Amongst all these other sinful attributes is disobedience to parents. This is no small thing with the Lord. And Paul gives us similar teaching. If you could turn forward to 2 Timothy with me. Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll see how this is part of the signs of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, the Bible tells us, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The foundation of these things is disobedience to parents, brings about all these other things. And although this is prophetic of the last days, we are to be part of the remnant that trains up their children to hold their parents and the Lord in reverence and in very high esteem. Why? Because that is what the Word of God tells us to do. Amen? For children of all ages, God's requirement for you, his command, is for you to honor and obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The lost and evil world system promotes happiness through through their rebellion. They think there's contentment in that. But God, your Creator, He knows you. He knows what is best for you. True happiness and fulfillment begin with submitting to God's word. Amen? His precepts, His statutes, His commandments. And Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall" what? "The truth shall make you free." God's word is the authority we are to submit to, which brings us true happiness and freedom. It is only by the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are made free from being a servant to sin. And to truly obey the fifth commandment, we find that there are godly requirements attached to it. So now consider this question and response that comes from one resource. It asks, what does God require in the fifth commandment? The answer, that I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to all their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with their infirmities, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Also consider the following reasons for children to obey their parents. Children to obey their parents. First, we find children are to obey their parents in the Lord because God requires it of them. We've seen that in His word this morning. Children are to obey their parents in their Lord. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord because Jesus did while He was on earth. He gave us that example. Children are to obey their parents in the Lord because parents usually have their children's best interest at heart. Children ought to obey their parents in the Lord because parents have real life experience that they can learn from. Children can avoid making the same mistakes, amen? They don't have to learn the hard way, but many still choose to. This is very difficult for children to understand, especially those in their late teens, those in their early 20s, those who are already into young adulthood. I had problems with it myself, and I suffered greatly for being disobedient to my father in my business life. But to help put everything into proper perspective, consider this. And I know the older you are, the more you can appreciate this. But consider what one man wrote of a child's view of their father. At age 4, the child says, "My dad can do anything." At age 7, "My dad knows a lot." At age 10, "My dad doesn't know everything." By age 13, "My dad doesn't understand." Age 16, "My dad is too old-fashioned." Age 21, "That man is out of touch." By age 25, "Dad's okay." By age 30, "I wonder what Dad thinks about this." Age 35, "I better ask Dad what to do." By age 50, "What would Dad have thought about this?" Age 60, "I just wish I could talk it over with Dad once more." So for those of us who are blessed to have good, godly parents, we can relate to this and see the wisdom in it. And for those who are young and have had the blessing and privilege to grow up in this church, take heed to the teaching of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ submitted Himself in humble obedience to His heavenly Father and to His earthly parents as well. You need to follow Christ's example and do the same. The next point we're going to consider is the relationship of honor. The relationship of honor. And what are some things children can do to honor their parents? Well, number one, first of all, children can show proper respect. This is an important part of God's law. You see this in the book of Leviticus, and I'll read you a couple of verses from there. Leviticus 19:3, the Bible says, "Ye shall fear every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." The Bible also says in Leviticus 20, verse 9, "For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." It was a death sentence that came along with cursing your parents. And the part of respecting your parents is in the way you speak to them. And parents, we need to train our children in this as well. But children should learn to say, yes, sir, to say, no, ma'am, to say, please, thank you, excuse me. And they should say all these things in a respectful tone and with proper eye contact to who they're speaking to. Number two, children can show honor by being a willing help to their parents. They should learn to see what needs to be done and just do it without us asking. But have them learn how to help clean up around the house, to pick up after themselves. Get them involved in helping to prepare with meals, to take out the trash, to be a productive member of their family, so to be a productive member of society. Children can also honor their parents by being thankful, as the scriptures command all of us to do, especially when they don't get their own way. No matter if they're saved, they're lost, it doesn't matter. Life is going to happen, and we need to teach and learn to be thankful in all things. Amen? Children are to honor their parents by heeding the instruction and counsel of their parents, especially if you have good, godly parents. We saw this before. It's the first commandment with a promise, and that promise is that it may be well with thee. Children can also honor their parents by living an honorable life. The fruit of being obedient to God's word first will be found in their salvation. And I know all saved parents desire their children to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. The natural result of salvation will lead to godly character, diligence in their work as they do all things as unto the Lord, and also they will have a servant's heart as they conform to the image of Christ. And children can also honor their parents simply by loving them. Again, if you love me, obey my commandments. We are to do this to the Lord and to our parents. Now, children can also show honor to their parents by respecting them. Again, the proper tone of voice and communication, being patient and understanding. This goes especially as our parents get older. Now, children can also show honor in being reliable. Have them learn how to keep their word and be a person of your word. And one final way children can honor their parents is simply through consideration, making time to be with them, to listen to them, going out of your way to be a blessing to them. In Proverbs 15, verse 20, the Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And what a great verse on a child honoring their parent here. And it also includes a contrast for how we can dishonor the parent. And for a child to live out biblical wisdom, it's like a badge of honor and point of pride for the parents. Not a bad kind of pride, but we want to see our children do well. We want to see them exemplify Christ and his example. And now I want to consider what may be the greatest example we have in our Bible of a child honoring a parent. And we're going to find this in John chapter 19. Please turn with me to John 19. And it's a great example for us to see, especially on this day. John chapter 19. The Bible tells us, starting in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. So the Lord Jesus Christ provided for Mary, his earthly mother. The Lord entrusted Mary to John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, as the Bible describes him. So even, get this, even while bearing the agony of the cross, even while having the full measure of God's wrath poured out upon him to become the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, in that moment, Jesus Christ considered Mary, his earthly mother. He sought to honor her to make sure all of her earthly needs were provided for. This was the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. How much more are we to be obedient in these things and honor our father and our mother? Even at the cross, the Lord was able to honor and obey the heavenly father and his earthly mother. This is our example. It brings us to our last point, the results of honor. The results of honor. The fifth commandment, again, from Exodus 20, verse 12, reads, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God hath given thee." So we have seen from the scriptures that it takes training. Parents must do their part in biblical child rearing. There's certainly a work to be done. And for parents who are determined to raise their children in the Lord and are dedicated to praying for them and, most importantly, living a godly life before them, they will one day reap the fruits of their labor. Our children need parents, good, godly parents, not friends, not enablers, not someone that spares the rod, amen, but parents who love them enough to discipline them according to the scriptures. Children of all ages need to honor their parents, especially if they still live at home. And we need to set limits on our children in these evil days. Especially the younger, the more limits we must set. We should know where our kids are at all times. Who are they with? When will they be home? And we should set a limit for ourselves on how many times we ask them to do something. Again, the goal should be for our children to hear and to respond to our voice immediately, the first time. We want to have them trained so that when the Lord calls them, they respond to Him and His word. We should expect that they finish and do all their schoolwork, their chores, everything that needs to be done, have it done before leisure time. Instill in them a strong work ethic. We should help our children. This is so important. This is so important. Parents, we have to train our children by living out the biblical example. We cannot live a life of hypocrisy to be one person in the church and another person at home or at work or in the world. The biblical example of what we want for our children as we rule over our homes, consider this. If a child lives with criticism, they will learn to criticize. If a child lives with hostility and bad tempers, they will be contentious and they will be a fighter. If a child lives with fear in their lives, they will be fearful about everything. But if a child lives with encouragement, they will become confident. If a child lives with praise, they will learn to be appreciative. These are just some of the things that we can put into practice to foster the results of honor in the lives of our children. And we saw earlier Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, where the Bible said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with promise." Paul started with obedience in the Lord, for this is right. And remember, it is just as right for us as parents to be in the Lord. It is our job as parents to obey the Lord, to keep all His commandments, and to honor our father and mother as an example to our children. Parents, again, I'm going to say it, we must lead by example. It is the only way to teach them spiritual things. It's the only way they're going to say, "This is real. I trust, I know, I obey the word of God because I see it working out in the lives of my parents." You cannot say one thing, say, "I believe the Bible," and then go home and live against it. That's what your child will learn. Submit to the word of God. Put it into practice in your life. So Paul goes on in verse 2 to quote the fifth commandment, which is, again, to honor thy father and mother. And he reminds us that it is the first commandment with promise. And we find again that promise in Ephesians 6:3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest livest long on the earth. The commandments of God are for everyone. Amen? Parents, children, people of all ages. And it all begins with what Jesus Christ said. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Psalm 128 verse 1 is a great verse. It tells us, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." For all the young people, take heed to the words of Solomon, the wisest man who ever walked the earth. And I know if you grew up in this church, you know this verse. Ecclesiastes 12:1 tells us, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, though the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So let me ask you, are you honoring the Lord with your life? Do you honor and obey God's word? Do you honor your parents and the other authorities which the Lord has put in your life? Now let's close with some more wisdom of Solomon from Proverbs chapter 3. And again, this applies to everyone. Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Amen. I pray this study was a blessing to you. There's so much to learn as parents and for our children to uphold that fifth commandment. I believe next week we'll continue. Brother Marcus will be preaching on commandment number 6. Let's close in prayer. And Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, again for the wonderful wisdom and teaching we have from the Word of God. Lord, that men would just receive it, obey it, and submit to it, Lord. What a different place this entire world would be if we were all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that your word would not return void, Lord, that the purpose you sent it out, Lord, it will be fulfilled in the lives of all the hearers. We thank you, Lord, so much for the Bible. We thank you again, Lord, for your son and his cross and what we're celebrating this day. Father, bless us now and the services to come. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.